Hey, all, Scott here, inviting you to check out Modern Times Magazine at moderntimesmagazine.com. It's a great little independent publication out of Phoenix, Arizona, featuring unique views on economics, politics, foreign policy, sports, and music, with great art scene coverage and fiction writing as well. That's Modern Times Magazine at moderntimesmagazine.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And our guest today is Michael Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center. That's 10thamendmentcenter.com and also offnow.org. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Thanks for having me back on, man.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here and very happy to see the news of all the success you guys are having. Tom Woods says, roll it back. And you guys says, all right, then. And then you're actually doing it. You're not just trying. You're actually rolling back the national Leviathan state in America. Tell us all about your latest successes.
Well, I tell you what, it is pretty exciting. We've got the legislative sessions in the state starting up here this week, and we'll be continuing to do so in the next week or so. And we've already got three states that have moved forward with introducing our Fourth Amendment Protection Act, the full bill dealing with the NSA at the state level. We've got Arizona, which we talked about last time I was on the show, and then this last week, California joined the fight with a bill introduced in a bipartisan manner. We've got a Democrat and a Republican senator that have joined together to introduce the bill there, and then on the same day, a representative in Oklahoma introduced the bill. So we've got those three, and then we've also got Kansas and Missouri, who are doing bills that don't go the whole distance with the NSA nullification, but they do deal with data sharing. Their bills would prohibit the use of any illegally, unconstitutionally gathered information on people from being used in state court. So essentially, we've got five states already that have joined the fight to push back against unconstitutional and immoral NSA spying.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible to think of that. And, you know, this is meaningful. I read that Liz Cheney, before she had to drop out of her Senate primary run there in Montana, that even though on cable TV news when she was back east, she was pro-Syria war and pro-NSA spying. Whenever she was at home on the campaign trail in Montana or Wyoming, she had to basically lie and pretend to be against the war in Syria and against NSA spying. So this is, you know, it's one of those things where, especially like we saw really crystallized with the run-up to the almost war in Syria there, where elite opinion is solidly behind the intervention, and the American people in their mass and in a very mainstream, even swing votery kind of way, where just kind of everybody, left, right, and centrist, moderates, and independents, and know-nothings, and know-everythings, and academics, and everybody who doesn't live in New York and D.C., basically, is of one mind on this kind of thing. And it seems like, I mean, it's almost unbelievable to me, but it really does seem like local politicians are getting the idea that they better get their act together and get out at the front of this parade, because the American people want their Bill of Rights back.
That's absolutely right. You know, and that's the beauty of working at the state and local level. There's a much greater power of grassroots. And like you said, it's pretty clear the grassroots are solidly against the warfare state. They're solidly against the spy state. They want their freedoms back. They just want to live their lives. They don't want to be running around all over the world trying to be the world's cop and all of this stuff. They just want to live their lives. They want to be left alone. That's where the great mass of thinking is in this country, and I think we're seeing that play out in these state legislators, because state legislators are a little bit more in tune with their constituents. You get these congressmen, and they go up to D.C., and heck, they don't even come home half the time. They're insulated. They don't know what their constituents are thinking. Our state legislators, you know, I babysat my state senator's kids when they were little, so there's a lot more intimate relationship between state legislators and the people, and I think they're a little bit more in tune with this stuff, and you know, they understand the threat that Congress and D.C. is to their own power and their own authority to do things in their states. So I think this is a powerful movement, and I think, you know, not even just looking at the NSA, but looking in general, this teaches us that we can get things done if we'll focus on localism instead of trying to solve all of our problems with one big centralized, massive gobbledygook in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I think that's the thing that it's especially hard for people on the left to get over is the fact that the white supremacists of the past basically use states' rights as their excuse and or, you know, the states' reserve powers and the limited powers of the national government to intervene on those matters. They basically, or on any, you know, matters outside of their constitutional jurisdiction, they basically drag that doctrine down with them as they were finally, you know, destroyed as a political movement in America, the pro-Jim Crow factions. But so now, especially after the Civil War and then the Civil Rights Movement, on the left, the national government has the reputation as the ones who, when it comes down to it, they have to intervene to protect the people from the state governments. And they don't have very much experience, at least they don't seem to see much experience in the state standing up to the feds and protecting their rights from the feds. But of course, with medical pot and other issues as well, the states have done exactly that. But they're very hung up because of the civil rights movement. Even though, you know, the idea that if we really repeal the national government's jurisdiction to way back the way it was, we still wouldn't have Jim Crow come back in the South now. I mean, come on. Well, those days are gone anyway. But it's still
right.
that lingering idea that the national government is a better protector of individual rights than the states.
Yeah, it's sad that our historical memory is as short as it is. And, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for the segregationist and the racist in the 1940s and 1950s. It's a stain on our character. But, you know, if you go back prior to the Civil War, it was the national centralized power that was protecting and defending slavery. The South depended on national centralized power to maintain that institution, and it was actually northern states that were appealing to state sovereignty and these very same ideas to protect runaway slaves and to battle the horrible Fugitive Slave Act. So, you know, if you go back a little farther, you see the exact opposite historically. It was decentralization that we were looking at to protect the rights of minorities, not centralized power. And, you know, even more recently, I think if you're an American Indian, you're going to have a little bit more dubious view on the veracity of the federal government protecting you.
Right. And you know what? Here's the thing, too, is for some reason, well, I guess I understand. Pop makes people giggle, right? And so it's all about getting high, and so it has sort of a trivial sound to it, just the issue does. But it's not the conservatives there are some, don't get me wrong, but generally speaking, it's liberal types who are concerned about the poor and the minorities and the powerless being completely persecuted by the war on drugs, and especially the war on weed, because that's the drug that more people use, you know, than anything as far as illegal drugs go in America. And so, you know, the national government certainly seems to be, at least so far, they're the last ones to give on this. It's liberals and leftists and libertarians on the state level who are getting weed legalized for medical purposes and now for, you know, any old purpose across the country. Certainly
yeah,
not
right.
The national government. And that ain't nothing. Just because weed sounds silly or something like that, that's not nothing. That's, you know, people no longer being kidnapped and kept in jail and maybe even killed during the enforcement of those laws. Their lives ruined, their families destroyed perhaps, their businesses, whatever, their employment, their ability to seek future employment. It is a really, really big deal, the war on pot, and its localism is the way that war is being fought by the good.
You're absolutely right. It's being fought and won, and you make a really, really good point. You know, that hammer falls disproportionately on blacks, Hispanics, and the poor. You know, they're the ones that are getting the busted, thrown in jail. You've got young black males who, you know, get busted with an ounce of weed on them, and all of a sudden they've got a criminal record, and then you've got a poor guy that has a difficult time in the job market to start with. He's got a criminal record now. I mean, it's just absolutely horrible, and you look at the number of people that have been caged on the war on drugs, and you're right, I don't think people realize the significance of this battle to legalize marijuana. You know, there are the people that still snicker and think, oh, you know, so America's going to pot and all of this silliness, but this is a really fundamental issue. And, you know, even just looking at it from the medical uses of it, you know, the idea that you're going to put somebody in jail because they found a way to relieve their pain, you know, dealing with chemotherapy or all of these different diseases that we're finding that marijuana can be helpful with, how horribly immoral is that? I'm going to put you in a cage because you're looking for a way to get relief. And even on a more fundamental level, when you start talking about the government, the federal government, these guys in Washington, D.C., telling me what I can and cannot put in my body, it's really kind of obscene when you break it down and understand the core of the issue. It's just not about getting high and being able to giggle. It's really more fundamental than that, and I really wish people would wrap their heads around that idea.
Right, yeah, absolutely. All right, and now, we still got a few minutes before the break. Let's talk a little bit more about this Fourth Amendment Protection Act. What exactly is in there? And you said there are two different levels of it, basically, so far. I think you said Missouri and Kansas, they're going halfway, but even that halfway sounded pretty good there.
Yeah, the halfway is actually huge. And really, the full bill deals with four areas. It deals, number one, with resources. It prohibits state participation or state providing material support to the NSA. So, you know, you got a state like Utah where the city of Bluffdale is providing the water. We're looking at ways to say, we're going to turn that water off. You're going to have to find some other way to get your water. You're not going to get it from a state or a subdivision of the state. So that's an aspect. Number two, you've got the data sharing, and you know, I think this is probably one of the most significant and impactful parts of it. We know that the NSA is sharing unconstitutionally gathered data with state and local law enforcement. We know for a fact that most of this data has absolutely nothing to do with the war on terror or terrorism. It's for criminal investigations. We know this is being used to prosecute people. With the Second Amendment or Fourth Amendment Protection Act, this data becomes inadmissible in state court. It becomes absolutely useless. So the NSA can share it with state and local law enforcement, but they're not going to be able to use it in a criminal trial. A defense lawyer is going to be able to say, track down where this information came from and have it thrown out as evidence. And I think that's a huge, important part of this. And that's the areas that the Kansas and Missouri bills address.
Right.
You've got
all right,
a third
now,
area.
We're going to have to take a break here in just a second. So we'll save your other two major points there. But so far, we've got the sharing of resources, such as trying to turn off the water there in Utah, and we're going to focus more on that in the other segment as well. But then, what you're talking about, this data sharing, is huge. In case anybody missed it, the stories revealed by the Snowden documents about the NSA basically laundering information about mostly low-level criminal activity, drug black market stuff, mostly, to federal, local, and state police, and having them lie how they came up with the probable cause to begin criminal investigations and prosecutions of people, and on a wide scale. I mean, this is huge. So, hold it right there. We'll be right back with Michael Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center, 10thamendmentcenter.com, offnow.org.
Fact. The new NSA data center in Utah requires 1.7 million gallons of water every single day to operate. Billions of Fourth Amendment violations need massive computers and the water to cool them. That water is being supplied by the state of Utah. Fact. There's absolutely nothing in the Constitution which requires your state to help the feds violate your rights. Our message to Utah? Turn it off. No water equals no NSA data center. Visit offnow.org.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. We're on the line with Michael Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center. They're doing great work on all kinds of issues. But right now we're talking about the National Security Agency, like you just heard in that commercial, the Off Now campaign there for Utah. What's it called again? The Fourth Amendment Restoration Act, Protection Act?
Fourth Amendment Protection Act.
Protection Act. And you say part one is deny state resources to the NSA that they would use to violate the rights of any citizens of those states. And then two, you said, was the data sharing, where the NSA is laundering all their warrantless wiretapping information through law enforcement agencies and using it against people. It would ban that, and I think you said would investigate all that, get to the bottom of that, throw those convictions out or that evidence out, something like that.
Right.
If you could elaborate on that, that'd be fine. And then also, you're going to continue the two more major points in this model legislation.
Right. Well, the data sharing, you know, like we were saying, we know that they're using this for basic criminal investigations. Most of it's war on drugs stuff that we've already talked about. And essentially what this would do is make it inadmissible in court. So, you know, you get some poor guy that's been drug in, defense attorney starts tracking down the case built against them, and a good defense attorney is going to find out where this information came from and dig and do subpoenas and whatnot, finds out that this came from the NSA and was obtained without a warrant, it's going to toss all that evidence out. So it's going to protect people from having evidence used against them that was been gathered without a warrant, without any kind of constitutional due process. So, you know, like I said, I think that's probably the thing that will have the most immediate impact in this this legislation.
And you know what? I mean, I got to say, my limited imagination anyway, other than like abolishing hydrogen bombs and stuff like that, this is just the most important thing of all. If they can use their unlimited surveillance power against, you know, the imaginary USSR or Islamo-fascist terrorist caliphate out there that they're fighting or whatever it is, if they can unleash all of that against the American people and go on unlimited fishing expeditions against us all, take any violation that they find, and then go ahead and turn that over to any local, state, or federal agency in charge of enforcing those laws or regulations or whatever it is, we will all be, I mean, if in other words, this is kind of the Rubicon, another Rubicon, a major one. If they get away with this, if there's no rollback on this issue, then that becomes license for them to do this whole scale, even officially, to just go ahead then and take whatever they have on any of us and give us all, give them all the more motive to data mine all of that information for any law that anyone might be in violation of, any tax they might not have paid or anything, any association with anyone that maybe they shouldn't have. I mean, we will live in an absolute Nazi nightmare in this country if this line in the sand is not drawn and pushed back right now.
Absolutely right. You know, Senator Kelly Ward, who's going to be sponsoring the bill in Arizona, she made a really, really good point in her press release. She talked about the whole idea of national security and addressing this idea of, oh, what about national security? You know, the NSA is to protect us from national security. And what Senator Ward said was that there is nothing that's more important in terms of national security than protecting and defending the Constitution and protecting those basic principles of due process and you know, privacy and knowing that the government just can't arbitrarily run in and search through your stuff. I mean, this, if you get down to it, this NSA stuff is no different than having some cop walk up and grab all the mail out of your mailbox or walk into your house and pull out all your email and read for it through it just to see, oh, you know, what's this guy up to? And you're absolutely right. That line in the sand has got to be drawn. That is the number one national defense issue. Without that, you can talk about terrorists and whatever other stuff these people want to bring up. That's irrelevant because without basic protections, without respecting the rights of individuals, none of the rest of it matters.
All right, and now so get to what else this model legislation does.
Yeah, we got part three deals with the incestuous relationship between academia and the NSA. 160 schools in the United States right now have relationships with the NSA, and they're under the utopian or Orwellian name of National Centers for Excellence. And basically, they're partnerships with the NSA, and some of them are deal with recruiting and training future spies, and some of the relationships are dealing with research and development for the NSA so they can find new ways to spy on you. And some of the schools actually do both, but you've got 160 schools with these relationships. States that pass this Fourth Amendment Protection Act, the full bill, it would create a situation that would eliminate these partnerships in state-run schools, since the states do have power over their state university system. So it would prohibit any new schools from joining this Centers for Academic Excellence business, and then it would also address getting rid of the relationships that already exist. So that's pretty cool, too, because we don't want our kids, you know, learning to spy on mom and dad. That's pretty pretty gross. And then the final piece of the puzzle, the fourth piece, would deal with corporations who choose to do business with the NSA. And you can't stop them from doing it. You know, you can't say you can't do business with the NSA. But what the state can do is say, if you do business with the NSA, you're not doing business with the state. So, you know, somebody comes along and is a vendor for the NSA Center in Utah, the state of Utah would effectively say, you're not eligible to bid for any contracts at a state or local level here in Utah. So hopefully just a way to disincentivize some of these private corporations from doing business with the NSA. And then what we'd like to do down the road is really put a lot more public pressure and begin outing some of these companies that are cooperating with the NSA and put that public pressure on them.
Right. Well, and that's just setting the stage for a great fight, too. If you could get a state government to pass a bill like that, of course, it would go to court and the whole thing, just the fight itself, just like on all of this stuff. If you could just get, you know, we've got these bills introduced here and there. If we can start getting this stuff really passed, that's going to do so much to just bring more attention to the issue. And this is going to be a long, hard fight. But a few early successes like this and give more and more state legislators across the country reason to believe that their fate is hung up on being on the right side of this issue, their political fortunes, that is, hung up on being on the right side of this issue, then, you know, it ain't going to be perfect. We probably can't roll it all back to 2000 or anything like that. Not that it was great then, but, you know, we can roll it back some. Right?
Yep, gotta absolutely. Every step that you can take, and, you know, each step of the way, it builds momentum, it builds popular support. And this is an issue, you know, we kind of touched on this earlier. This is an issue that I think is waking up a lot of people that kind of basically don't pay a lot of attention. You know, they don't get too bent out of shape. Maybe they go out and vote for their R or their D every 4 years, but generally don't pay much attention. But, you know, when you start hearing over and over again that you've got this institution that's spying on you and going through your emails, people start to kind of look up and, you know, pull their heads up from off the football game and go, huh? And I think it's really getting a lot of people angry and at least modestly plugged in that weren't necessarily active before. And I think that's a good thing. If we can get the people to recognize what their government is doing to them, maybe we'll get a little bit more action. And more grassroots action you get, the more success you're going to have. And I'll be honest with you, I really think that this bill has a good shot at passing in some of these states, particularly in California. You know, we've already got the template there, having passed the non-cooperation with the indefinite detention. Right. We've already got some good coalitions that are built there. And the fact that this is a bipartisan bill, we've got a guy that is a Democrat that's got a strong reputation for environmental issues and for civil liberties issues, and on the other side we've got a Republican. They're working together saying, you know, let's put aside whatever else we want to bicker about. This is important enough to fight together, and I really think this has a shot of passing in California of all places.
All right, so to the listeners of this show, what do they do other than just look at offnow.org? What do they do to really make a difference on this issue?
Well, I want them to go look at offnow.org, and then I want them to take the next step, and I want them to click on the link on that page that gives you the model legislation and download it, and then find out who your state representative and your state senator are and email them a copy of that model legislation and a short note saying, hey, consider introducing this in my state. I want to be protected from NSA spying. Direct them to the off now so that they can see that it's on sound legal footing, and then follow up with a phone call and say, hey, did you get this? I really want you to introduce this, because that's the key. We want to, you know, we've got three states now and two others with Fourth Amendment Protection Lite. So we've basically got five states. if we could get 25 states, then we're really talking about a huge movement.
Right.
So that's what we need. We need people to send this to their state representative and their state senator and ask them to introduce it.
Right. All right. Well, it's sure is great work that you guys are doing. I sure appreciate it. I appreciate your support in this show, and I appreciate the chance to support somebody who's actually doing something about this stuff and really getting the job done and rolling it back. Like you said, the great success with the nullification of the NDAA military detention there in California. I mean, that's huge. And then, of course, the pot and the gun victories y'all have had and all that. So that's offnow.org, everybody. The NSA's Achilles heel. Thanks very much, Michael.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, y'all, Scott here, hawking stickers for the back of your truck. They've got some great ones at libertystickers.com. Get your son killed, Jeb Bush, 2016, FDR, no longer the worst president in American history, the National Security Agency, blackmailing your congressman since 1952, and USA. Sometimes we back Al-Qaeda, sometimes we don't. And there's over 1,000 other great ones on the wars, police state, elections, the Federal Reserve, and more at libertystickers.com. They'll take care of all your custom printing for your band or your business at thebumpersticker.com. Libertystickers.com. Everyone else is stickers suck. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to talk to you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. In the book, Swanson explains what the revolution was, the rise of empire, and the permanent military economy, and all from a free market libertarian perspective. Jacob Hornberger, founder and president of the Future Freedom Foundation, says the book is absolutely awesome, and that Swanson's perspectives on the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis are among the best I've read. The poll numbers say that people agree on one thing. It's that America is on the wrong track. In The War State, Swanson gets to the bottom of what's ailing our society. Empire. The permanent national security bureaucracy that runs it and the mountain of debt that has enabled our descent down this dark road. The War State could well be the book that finally brings this reality to the level of mainstream consensus. America can be saved from its government and its arms dealers. First, get the facts. Get The War State by Michael Swanson, available at your local bookseller and at Amazon.com. Or just click on the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org. Hey, y'all, Scott here for MyHeroesThink.com. They sell beautiful 7-inch busts of libertarian heroes, Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, Ron Paul, and Harry Brown. I've got the Harry Brown one on the bookshelf now. Makes me smile every time it catches my eye. These finely crafted statues from MyHeroesThink.com make excellent decorations for your desktop at work, bookends for your shelves, or gifts for that special individualist in your life. They're also all available in colors now, too. Of course, gold, silver, or bronze. Coming soon, Hayek, Hazlitt, Carlin. Use promo code Scott Horton and save $5 at MyHeroesThink.com. Hey, everybody, Scott Horton here. Ever think maybe your group should hire me to give a speech? Well, maybe you should. I've got a few good ones to choose from, including How to End the War on Terror, The Case Against War with Iran, Central Banking in War, Uncle Sam and the Arab Spring, the ongoing war on civil liberties, and of course, why everything in the world is Woodrow Wilson's fault. But I'm happy to talk about just about anything else you've ever heard me cover on the show as well. So check out youtube.com/Scott Horton Show for some examples, and email Scott at scotthorton.org for more details. See you there.